Good morning and welcome to today's broadcast. You're listening to These Be Perilous Times, where we seek to understand not only the signs of the times, but how we must respond to the things which must soon take place. I'm Pastor Andre here, and today we're going to continue to take another look at goodness. Now, last week we examined it from the Hebrew perspective. This week, we'll look at goodness from the Greek definition and what Yah has to speak to us from this word. Goodness in Greek is agathosune, and it means uprightness of heart and life, goodness and kindness. Goodness is seen in our actions, and this word relates to not only being good, but also doing good things. And we have in all of this, in this discussion, we have a reminder from Galatians 6:9, not to give up in doing good, for in due season, in the season appointed for the fruit, we shall reap.
Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to begin a new journey for new mercies this morning. We thank you and glorify you, Father God, for who you are, for you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we can chart our course, we can believe and begin to launch out into the spiritual deep waters of your glory, knowing that you will never change. So, Father, because of that, you allow us to see that we need to change. There's areas in our lives that must change into being the likeness and the character of you. Because of that, Father, I thank you for forgiving me for sin, iniquity, and transgression. I thank you for calling me out to change, calling me out to be different than this world, different than the old man. So, Father, I take this time to crucify the old man. I take the time to crucify the old man. You must die with your emotions and with your attitude and with just the manner in which the way you do things, you must die. Father, we take today to allow that to happen. We take today to know that you will give us now the strength to forgive others, to forgive ourselves. And I thank you that you help us by forgiving our forefathers on both sides of our family. Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, we thank you for the blood that covers all sin. We thank you for allowing us to understand what you are desiring. Even under this broadcast, we ask that your Holy Spirit, your Ruach HaKodesh, take control and begin to guide us through. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen. I will pass it right back to you, Pastor Andre. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Let's go ahead and start with Pastor Doug. I'll pass it to him for our before Torah study blessing.
Ruach Ata Yahuwah Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Kishanu BeMitzvotav Yitzchanu La'asot B'Divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yahuwah, our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yahuwah, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen. For those of you who joined us, last week, we wanted to go ahead and continue to discuss the topic of the fruit of the Spirit. And the first thing I have here to share with you all is that we have to maintain and continue to view the fruit of the Spirit as tools and an arm in it, and especially in times of turmoil. We began talking last week, but I remember, Rabbi, you shared that, you know, it's great to look at how, you know, yes, the fruit are holy and they're pure, but if we do not understand that they are a protective nature for us, if we don't understand how to utilize them in times of turmoil, we're missing a very important aspect of the fruit of the Spirit for right now. So I wanted to go ahead and start off with that these are tools, they are armament in times of turmoil. Now, if you remember last week, we started our discussion looking at Psalms 23, verse 6, in both the King James Version and in the Amplified, which starts like this. It says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And we were looking at the fruit of the Spirit, goodness. But before goodness comes in that verse, we have the word surely. And we began to look at other definitions of this in the Hebrew. And one of those definitions translates this to only. So if we look at that verse saying, only goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, that sounds completely different than saying surely. And we pause to break down the word surely in the Hebrew. And we saw that the Hebrew word for this surely is ach, aleph kaf. Now, only is much different in meaning than surely because it is exclusive in the results. Meaning it's not just guaranteeing some result, but only one result. There can only be one, quote-unquote, winner of the race. And when we discuss the Hebrew, we broke down only, or surely, into its Paleo-Hebrew letter meanings. And we looked at Aleph, which demonstrates the head, leader, strong, and the mind of the Father, the plurality of Yah. Okay? And then Kaf, signifying an open palm, allow, and tame. And we discussed how that together demonstrates discipleship. So we were looking at the mind of the Father, the plurality of Yah, the fullness of who Yah is, and discipleship. Now, how does that connect? Yah's desire is for us to walk in his perfection, submitting ourselves to his will, and not just his good will, not to confuse with what we're talking about with goodness, but his perfect will. When this happens, only goodness, the goodness of God, will follow us and overtake us. Now, goodness is an attitude or characteristic, a character trait, if you will, of the Father. If you remember what Yeshua said in the New Testament, he said, Jesus only said that only the Father is good. So then we have to allow the Father's goodness to permeate through us. We reflect his goodness through us. Now, when we look at the Hebrew word, last week we talked about the Hebrew word for good, which is tov, and Rabbi brought out an excellent definition about this being, in a sense, beautiful, or how we understand beautiful to be. And we see that good interacts with our five senses. And Rabbi broke this down last week, and I'm just, for the sake of the five senses, I'll go ahead and name them now. We have sight, sound, so good, pleasing to the eyes, pleasing to the ears, taste, it tastes wonderful, touch, feels good, smell is the last one, something smelling good. When you think about it, look at how we even say that. Something looks good, smells good, tastes good, sounds good, feels good. We use that word good in there, but that's a component of this bigger Hebrew picture for beautiful or something being functioning at its best and functioning properly is another way to look at good. When you think about how Yah created the earth or the world, he said it was good afterward. It was functioning properly as it was designed. Now, it is important for us to understand the quality of goodness, which will go back and it aligns itself with Torah and with the word that God speaks to us. When we have to sometimes slow down and discern if something is good. And the way we do that is to measure it up with the word of God. Again, both his written word and his audible word, the word to us, even in our soul. Now, we looked at an example of where an individual was in the right place to be utilized by God's goodness. We looked at Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And Philip, as he was going through the spiritual calibration, the Holy Spirit tweaked his course. It actually moved him so that he could apply the goodness of God to the eunuch. And notice the goodness in that moment was him helping to bring understanding of the word that the eunuch was reading. This is a good point for us to remember, that Yah will try to get our attention on a daily basis in order for us to appropriate his goodness. We must make up our mind and be resolved in our mind to only allow what Yah desires. Now, this is easier said than done because we often every morning have something that tries to get in the way, and that's ourselves, our flesh. We have to make sure that our old man is crucified. We must take the old man, and we must get our own selves out of the way to allow what Yah has in store for us every day to flourish and manifest in our lives. And in that way, that we can say, only the goodness of God shall follow us all the days of our life, especially in times of turmoil. So, Rabbi, that was our beginning on this topic, and I'm going to go ahead and pass it to you for today.
Amen. I really appreciate, and I pray that those that are listening really also get a tremendous amount of virtue out of the recap. And the reason for that is because this recap helps to reset us. It helps to keep us calibrated, if you will, to make sure that we are on course. We talked about goodness in the Hebrew. So let's take a look at goodness in the Greek. Now, we're going to go ahead and go to Galatians chapter 5. And probably looking at verse 22 and 23, because that's where the actual ingredients of the fruit of the Spirit is kind of laid out for us, starting at, I believe it's 22. So we're going to allow Pastor Andre to begin to read that, and then we'll take up looking at goodness from a standpoint of the Strong's number and definition of.
All right, so I have Galatians chapter 5 verses 22 in the King James this morning, and it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering or patience, gentleness, goodness, and then we have faith, or often faithfulness. Verse 23, meekness or gentleness, temperance or self-control. Against such there is no law. And that's verse 23.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. And it says, against such there is no law. I know we touched base on that before, but I want to make sure that we cover the fact that when it says there is no law, it's talking about enforcing the law because of a penalty, okay? When it says there is no law, that doesn't mean, from an English perspective, that we're not under Torah, we don't have to follow Torah, and, you know, we're exempt. No, this has nothing to do with that concept. It has the aspect of the penalty or the curse of Torah. So how does goodness play into that? Well, first of all, we need to understand that goodness, and if we look at it from the Greek, it's Greek number 19, and the actual word is agathos sune, and I'll spell that for you. It's A-G-A-T-H-O-S-U-N-E. Now, this particular word is referring to, like what was already stated, referring to the goodness of God. Everything references, all of these fruit reference from Him. They proceed from Him. So when we begin to go and discuss, Pastor Andre, what you were saying about the good news, okay, which is also depicted in the New Testament, what makes the good news good is the fact that whatever you and I are suffering from, whatever we are lacking in for that particular day, God, through Yeshua, through the redemptive work of Yeshua, has the remedy, has the antidote, if you will, for whatever ails you, be it spiritual, be it physical, mental, emotionally, whatever that ailment is. So this fruit of good news, or goodness in this case, all right, is the goodness of whatever is applicable in your life. Now, how does that interrelate to the Perilous Times platform that we're talking about? I think that question already is being answered just with the fact of you taking the time today, and with that pen and pad, write down some things that you need to have changed. Because the good news is that which changes that situation, that circumstance. So when you go to Yah in the name of Yeshua, you're going with a certain purposed change. The manifestation of that purpose change is the goodness, or the good news of Yah. because that's what you're desiring. That's what I'm desiring for him to appropriate to me today. His goodness. Well, his goodness is a broad stroke statement. It's a broad spectrum. But within that broad spectrum, everything that I need, everything that I must have for that day is in that goodness. So when I ask him for the goodness, a specific target to that goodness. If it's finance, I say, Father, I need not just finances, I need for you to financially provide for my family in this particular area. In the name of Yeshua, I need you to guide me into the right path of how to appropriate and how to deal with these transactions, how to deal with my health, how to deal with my job and the individuals on my job. We have to begin to look for that particular goodness. We have a congregant who at work this past week was going through a really rough time as far as all of his coworkers were, because the load of what the employer was asking was over the top. It was more than should have been expected. Well, through that, working through that workload, the congregant began to notice that one of the coworkers was having an extraordinary bad day. I mean, it was over the top. He was ready to quit the job that day. That's how bad the stressor was for him. And in an instant, in a moment, what began to happen was God's goodness. God's goodness began to shine through the coworker, of course, that goes to our congregation. And he began to minister God's goodness to this individual. And it began to change the atmosphere. It began to change the viewpoint. And the individual did not quit his job. As a matter of fact, it built a stronger trust to the point to where this particular individual that was having a horrendous day turned to our congregant and said to him, you know, I have noticed the change in you, and I realize that I need to get back into a right relationship with God. It was the goodness that was appropriated at the right time, pertaining to the right particular dilemma, that caused the fruit of the Spirit to bring forth fruit in this young man. As we are going through these times and seasons, and as things are beginning to begin to shake like they never shook before, should be appropriated. What the Father is wanting to have appropriated, what he is wanting to begin to exhibit from me and from you, is his goodness in times of trouble. Because goodness works best when there is trouble, when there's chaos, when there's situations that are beyond our control and beyond our ability to even tolerate it. God's goodness, from the seed of the fruit of his Spirit, is ready to step in. It's ready to change everything in my life and in your life around. It's ready to show you how wonderful Yah, our God, he is. Even when Moses was asking for something that the Father would not give him, the Father said, but I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will show you my backside. I'll show you my goodness. So the Father desires He longs for, he enjoys showing you his goodness in this time of great perplexity. He specializes in performing great and mighty things. So as you and I are going through the things that we go through each day, the goodness of the Lord is always there. He's always ready. He's always desiring to show himself strong. Well, if that's the case, and if he's supposed to and desiring to show himself strong in us, the only way that that can happen, just like the true scenario that I shared with you about the coworkers, and one of them being our congregant, even though both of them were feeling miserable, one of them had to empty himself of his expectations and of his desires and of his present gloom and doom. The fact that he was in the muck and mire, they both were there, but one of them emptied himself to allow the goodness of God to begin to bring him up by filling him up. We have got to each morning allow the goodness of the Lord to begin to fill us. Now, sometimes it could be a situation where you just kind of get before the Lord and you begin to sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs come out of you. They come out of you because first they go in you. And as they go in you, they begin to fill you completely with his goodness. The petitions that you desire of him, according to his word now, and that's a key. We all have desires. We all have things that we would like or want, for that matter. But it's got to be according to what his prescribed plan is for us, what his promises are for us. And it's the goodness of the Lord that will bring those to pass in your and my life when we empty ourselves and we fill ourselves full to the full with him. In doing so, we've got to do like this young man did. Belly aching and stop complaining and drawing more and more into the quicksand of despair, because it brings depression and that brings death. But allow the goodness to saturate your hearts and minds in such a way to where you can't even feel anything other than joy. And then the peace of Yah that passes all of our understanding will begin to filtrate and change the atmosphere and allow the goodness to bring forth the necessary blessing that is needed at that specific time. It's his goodness. We just need to appropriate. We need to find ourselves in line with his goodness. And as we learn how to empty and then allow him to fill, then the goodness will begin to manifest. It starts first in the inner part, the inner man. And there's times when you and I just don't have it. I mean, we're human in that aspect. And when we don't have it, this is the time that the Father, through the and by way of the Holy Spirit, will begin to appropriate it through others through intercession. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through about 16. We're going to go into that so that you can see how, even if you don't have the goodness manifesting inside of you, it's okay. Just remember, this is a starting point today. This is where I'm starting today. Whatever I have in my tank is what I have in my tank today. But I know that I'm not going to finish that way. I know that I'm not going to allow it to continue to be depleted, because the Father has an understanding of how this works. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 16 is going to help you and I to understand how to apply these fruits, and especially the goodness that we're referring to. Okay? Pastor Roger, if you could read that for us in the King James, and also, if possible, in the Amplified.
Sure. Starting with the King James. Again, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 16. And it says this: "But as it is written, for eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of the Lord, which is of God. The Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God." And verse 13. "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Verse 15. "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." And finally, verse 16. "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So I'm going to go ahead and get it amplified.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And while you're getting the amplified, I want to make sure that everyone is viewing this from the standpoint of the illustration of the two co-workers. Because as you begin to view it from that viewpoint, you realize that both of them were focused on the natural circumstances, but one of them realized, and it was by the Spirit, it was by the Holy Spirit, realized that God had a greater purpose that day. God had an assignment that day. God had an opportunity and a desire to share and to impart his goodness that day. Pastor Andre?
All right. Here we go. This is the Amplified, starting with verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 in the Amplified. "But just as it is written in Scripture, things which the eye has not seen and the ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, who obey him, and who gratefully recognize the benefits that he has bestowed." That's good. Verse 10. "For God has unveiled them and revealed them to us through the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things diligently, even sounding and measuring the profound depths of God, the divine counsels and things far beyond human understanding." Verse 11. "For what person knows the thoughts and motives of a man except the man's spirit within him? So also no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, so that we know, that we may know and understand the wonderful things freely given to us by God." Verse 13. "We also speak of these things, not in words taught or supplied by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual thoughts with spiritual words, for those being guided by the Holy Spirit. This is verse 14. But the natural unbelieving man does not accept the things, the teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness, absurd and illogical to him, and he is incapable of understanding them, because they are spiritually discerned and appreciated, and he is unqualified to judge spiritual matters. Verse 15. But the spiritual man, the spiritually mature believer, judges all things, questions, examines, and applies what the Holy Spirit reveals, yet is himself judged by no one. The unbeliever cannot judge and understand the believer's spiritual nature. Verse 16. For who has known the mind and purposes of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ to be guided by his thoughts and purposes. Back to you, Rabbi.
Oh, I'm sorry. I muted myself, and I was up there asking you to read verse 15 again.
Well, I was definitely enjoying it.
I didn't hear you, so I'm like, he must not hear me. Anyway.
Oh, no. Okay. So, yeah, I'll read verse 15 again, and I have to say this was very rich. Reading this, I had to almost pause internally. But I'll read 15 again. Yeah. But the spiritual man, the spiritually mature Christian, it says here, judges all things, questions, examines, and applies what the Spirit, Holy Spirit reveals, yet is himself judged by no one. The unbeliever cannot judge and understand the believer's spiritual nature. And that's where it stops.
Okay. Now, the reason why I had you read that portion again, and you're right, there is so much richness in the Amplified of this particular passage, especially in the beginning portion as well of that read. But not only can the unbeliever not judge the spiritual man, but the circumstances, don't miss this is so important, the circumstances that are trying to define you, the circumstances that you find yourself in, cannot define you, because you are being brought to a higher standard, a higher place in Yah. And as you're brought to a higher place in Yah, those circumstances, those natural events, those situations, if you will, that are trying to define you and trying to fine you down, trying to keep you down from being who God has called you to be in that day, in that time, in that hour, those things must release you. They must release you. And in releasing you, the goodness of Yah causes you to be promoted in whatever the circumstances. You're being brought to a higher place. To a higher place. Now, this is imperative that we understand this, because when the adversary comes, oftentimes we lose sight of the fact that in winning and being an overcomer, that means that as I stand in the Word, that situation that was brought on by the devil must now promote me. I must be promoted, and he is the one that does the promoting. Now, I know for some of you that sounds real odd. Okay, we're getting ready to go through perilous times, and you're telling us that the perilous times and the demonic activity of those times are what is supposed to promote me? The answer is emphatically yes. Because the Father has a unique way of making sure that your enemies understand how great, how holy, and how righteous he is. And when he shines through you and me by way of the Word, In other words, when I line up with his word and when I speak his word and when I live what I'm speaking pertaining to his word, then the enemy and the situation that was being brought upon helps to promote me, and it also helps to ensnare my enemies. Now, I know Pastor Andre has a unique situation here, biblically speaking, pertaining to Daniel, that he can expound upon how his enemies set out to destroy him, and they fell on their own track. I'll pass it to you, Pastor.
Absolutely.
Andre, just to expound on that.
And Rabbi, this is an excellent example of the goodness of God. And we know, as we talked about in the previous broadcast, how Daniel walked in such a way that he entreated the favor of Yah in every circumstance, even with those he was employed under. And even while Daniel was doing the things which he ought to do, like praying and seeking Yah, his enemies could not find any avenue to destroy him. And so they tried to go through the legal political system to cause Daniel's his relational devotion to God. They tried to make that the snare to cause him to be removed from power. And they made a law saying, if any man prays to anyone except the king, they will have to throw him in the lion's den and kill him. And they made the law, but Daniel kept and was steadfast in his relationship with Yah. And they were ready. It was a trap. They were watching, probably only him, honestly, watching him to see, is he going to pray this today? Is he going to go? Yep, there he is. They went, grabbed him, brought him before the king, who the king loves. The king loved Daniel. And they said, this man has defied your very edict, which cannot be revoked, even by yourself. We must throw him in the lion's den. And they threw him in there. And Yah manifested his goodness to Daniel. In the midst of this trap set for him, he preserved his life. And in doing so, Daniel walked out of what was meant to be a death trap for him, the lion's den, where they would have devoured him. God shut the mouth of the lion. And as a result, when the king saw this, he said, surely, Daniel, your God reigns. And he went and got his accusers, those of political opposition for him, those the wise men who were against him, and he put them in the lion's den instead. And so the plan, the trap, the weapon formed against Daniel did not prosper, and it was turned onto the heads of his adversaries. God, again, promoted and elevated Daniel and caused his enemies to fall at his feet, and they lost their lives. And I believe that's the story you were looking at, but I think that's an excellent example, Rabbi.
Yes, that is exactly the story. And we can even look in the New Testament and look at Yeshua in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And you can see the progressive promotion when a person stands on the word. When a person stands on the word, the progressive promotion from the evil one must come because it's a mandate of God. It's a part of the goodness that belongs to us. A part of the goodness that belongs to you and I is that that which was meant for evil becomes our promotion. Now, I want you to hear this in the King James. Because when you hear it in the King James, you'll see that there were three times that there were attacks against Yeshua. And as Yeshua stood firm in the word. Now remember, all of the weapons that were used by Yeshua against the adversary, against Satan, was found in the book of Deuteronomy. So all of the quotations that were quoted by Yeshua came from Deuteronomy. He was meditating on that while he was going through the wilderness and fasting for 40 days. He was building up his inner man with the Torah, and more specifically, with Deuteronomy, which is the summary of the whole Torah. He was building himself up so that when the attacks came, only that which was in him, which was the Torah, was able to come out against the enemy. And because he was living it and not just quoting it, there's a difference between quoting and living. Goodness comes when you're living the Torah, not when you're quoting where the passages are and what they say. Because Yeshua said this statement before, and then I'll have you read this if you would, Pastor Andre. He said to his disciples when they were having, you know, one of the live sessions, if you will, he said that there's nothing of this world that is in him. When we get to that state of being, then the goodness of Yah is unlimited in its ability to do whatever Yah wants to do through us.
Mm.
When we get to that state of emptiness, of being pertaining to this world, if you'll read that for us in the King James.
This is Matthew chapter 4, and starting with verse 1.
Yes, sir.
Then was Jesus, Yeshua, led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But Yeshua answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus answered unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And then lastly, verse 11, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him.
Amen. It's imperative to see that in each attack, as Yeshua overcame by the word of his testimony. Remember, we talked about the fact in another broadcast that a testimony comes when you are tested in your resolve pertaining to the word of God and your ability to be obedient to that word. That then you become an overcomer because the blessings of God or the goodness of God come and rescues you. In each one of these incidences, the goodness of God came and rescued him, and it was the devil himself who promoted him. It said in verse 5, go ahead and read verse 5 again if you would, Pastor Andre.
Sure. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple.
The devil had to promote him. And in each level of authority that the devil had stolen, once he took him up, okay, then what that literally means spiritually is that he, the devil, had to surrender that authority, that level of authority had to be surrendered to Yeshua, to Jesus. Okay? Now, that wasn't just him transporting him from one place to another, which that did happen, of course. But the moment that the devil transported him from this low esteem to the next tier, that was ownership for Yeshua in that particular area of influence. So when, at the last example here, when the devil was showing him all the kingdoms that the devil had authority over, that Adam had lost. When Yeshua stood strong in his word, in the word in Deuteronomy, then the devil had to depart and he had to leave. So Yeshua was able to receive all of those kingdoms at that point. Now, don't think that the devil was finished with Yeshua at that point, because he wasn't. Okay? Because I believe it was in Luke, if you can check me out on this one, I think it's Luke chapter 4, verse 13, gives a similar account, but in verse 13, it says that the devil left and was waiting for a more opportune time. In other words, he's That's waiting correct. In the shadows, waiting for Yeshua to slip up. Go ahead and read that, sir, if you will.
Yes. In Luke chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season."
Mm. And in certain, in the NLT, it says, you know, he departed for a more opportune time. In other words, he was waiting for the proper season, when you and I are at our lowest. The devil never tries to attack you when the goodness of the Lord is manifesting through you. He tries to attack you when you are at your lowest point and almost ready to break, almost ready to succumb to the demonic realm, almost completely depleted of hope that things will ever get better. I'm telling you, we are sharing this with you to let you know that that's when the goodness of the Lord is the strongest. That's when the promises of the Lord are real and they're right there in the present waiting to manifest. God did not leave Abraham. For 24 years, God was following Abraham, waiting and desiring to fulfill the goodness of his promise that he gave him in Genesis chapter 12. And even after that, he kept following generation after generation after generation to make sure that his word was true to perform what was spoken. This day, those promises, as well as promises that he may have shared with you personally, are still desiring to manifest in your life. Yes, I know that we're headed into perilous times, but those perilous times have no right or privilege to be attached to us. We may be in perilous times, but we're not of perilous times. We may be in the world, but we are not of the world. This is not our eternal home. This is not, hallelujah, our final destination. And even though hell has enlarged itself, it was never designed for us. It was designed for the fallen angels. and their children, their offspring. So we must understand that God's goodness, desire to manifest himself this day, not someday, not yesterday, but every day. He desires for you and I, like Yeshua, like Daniel, to have the attitude and the manifestation of the word moving and flowing through us in such a manner, in such a way, to where you're not asking of something that already is, that hasn't already been placed and germinated within you. And like we showed in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 16, even if you're in a situation, which we often find ourselves, where we don't have enough of his goodness to manifest that thing, when the Spirit of the living God comes in and checks us out, he's going to take inventory of what you and I have and what we don't. But the beautiful thing is he will cause intercessors to begin to intercede who have that extra piece apart, to begin to intercede on your behalf, on my behalf, so that I can be filled to the full, not just of what I have, but more importantly of what I lack. So that once I reach that level at which goodness can now manifest and operate, then the goodness will manifest the desired necessary need that I have for that day. Yes. Pastor Andre, I'm going to pass it to you for your thoughts, your final thoughts, and also giving those who need more information an opportunity to get information about it.
Amen. Thank you, Rabbi. There's several just wonderful good nuggets today, and one of them that really stuck out to me, in addition to the goodness for the right time, I'll just say it that way. The goodness appropriated at the right time is what we're desiring to see, especially in the perilous times. And another thing you said, Rabbi, the perilous times promote us. And so what we're looking for is the goodness of God to be manifested in each and every moment of our day. And we have to make sure that we submit to that and allow him to do what he's desiring to do. Just like we had just talked about with the Father, following Abraham in order for him to bring to him what he has promised him. And it was because of what Abraham had done. He was faithful, and God knew that he would teach his children and that he would be faithful to what he had commanded. And so he brought to him what was promised him. So we want to be in the same situation. So I just want to thank you all for listening this week as we discuss goodness, and we discuss God's goodness manifesting in and through us. Thank you again for joining us for These Be Perilous Times, and I want to make sure that you all take the time to go back and look at these things. We encourage you to study these things as Bereans and to see if these things are true. And if you find that they are true, take them. Find the truth and sell it not, the scripture says. So hold on to them and apply them to your lives. Do not just be speakers of the word, as we talked about earlier. It's not those who quote the word, but those who live it, who are able to apprehend, to take hold of, to permeate the goodness of God. So we encourage you to do that. As a reminder, this is a broadcast, and it's an outreach of Congregation Beth Hashem in Durham, North Carolina. If you do have questions pertaining to what we discussed today, or if you want to receive our weekly newsletter, or you simply desire us to leave, if you desire to leave us an encouraging word, how about that? We encourage you to do so at office@bethhashem.org. If you'd like to find out more about us, you can visit our website at www.bethhashem.org. And that's BethHashem.org. You can find out more about us as well on Facebook if you use Facebook, at facebook.com/BethHashem Ministries, all one word, lowercase. And if you'd like to go deeper and to go further than what we're able to today in today's broadcast, you should look into our Hebraic college. We have a college that discovers and digs into the Hebraic roots of our faith. It's called Zakkai University of Learning, and we offer courses in Messianic apologetics and biblical Jewish studies at courses.bethhashem.org. And finally, if you'd like to make a contribution to this ministry, we have made an application available for our members, but also for those who are our guests. It's called Cash App. We have a username at cashapp.com. You can go to http://www.cashapp.com/$BethHashem. That's all lowercase in one word, $BethHashem. And you can mail us an offering at office, which is at 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. And we want to thank you for those of you who have donated and given generously to this ministry. We say thank you very much. Now, at this time, we're going to close with our after Torah blessing, and we're going to pass that to Pastor Doug. And then following that, we'll close with a benediction in Hebrew and English from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26, or 22 through 24, excuse me. And we're going to then pass it back to Rabbi for our closing prayer. So at this time, we'll pass it to Pastor Doug for the after Torah study blessing.
Baruch atah Yehuah Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher natan lanu toret emet. Vachaye olam natah bitokenu. Baruch atah Yehuah noten haTorah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, our Yah, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and set our everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehuah, giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehuah, nuestro Dios, Rey del universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros. Se bendiga, Yehuah, dador de la Torah.
Amen. And we'll go ahead with our benediction here. I want to recite in English, in Hebrew first, and then following in English.
Yivarechecha Yehuah ve'yishmerecha Ya'ir Yehuah panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Yehuah panavelecha ve'esem lecha shalom.
May Yehuah bless you and keep you. May Yehuah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahuwah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Messiah, Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. And Rabbi, I pass it back to you.
Father, right now, in the name of Yahushua, we thank you. We receive the blessing of the Aaronic blessings. We receive it for us and our family. We thank you, Father, for the anointing of the word. We thank you for the application of the word. And we ask that you begin to show us how to apply it. This goodness and the rest of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives during these perilous times. Help us to understand the imperative importance of where we are right now and how we must awaken to the responsibility of walking in the fullness of your purpose for our lives. Help us to see and know that the end of the journey is soon to be over. Give us that joy and peace so that we can fulfill all that you called for us, so that we can truly be called overcomers. Thank you, Father. We glorify you. We honor you this day. And we magnify your names by allowing them to resonate inside of us. In Yahushua's name, and until next broadcast, Shalom, Shalom.